Let's go in our Bibles today. Let's start in two places, Psalm 25. Psalm 25. And to expedite it a little bit, go to Numbers chapter 3. The one to hold, put a marker in, is Psalm 25. But one of the references that we'll do as introduction is in Numbers chapter 3. Psalm 25 and Numbers chapter 3. The Word of God is so written and so preserved and so passed on to us that its power is just about a mystery. And I say that because it is truly a spiritual book. It has history. It has poetry. It has incredible wisdom. And it's all woven in and out in such a way that it encourages and really demands that the child of God read it and dwell in it and revisit it continually. Excuse me. Now, the reason that's so important is that that demonstrates to me that the one who made you, the one who understands the human heart and mind, the one who knows what it takes to make you tick, is the one behind this book, the Bible. And then when you take the fact that in English we have it in this King James Version, that supernaturally and providentially God intervened 400 years ago to give it to us, and that it would be the last time he spoke before his second coming, just as there were 400 silent years between the Old Testament and his first coming, it behooves us even more to stay in the book. They were, of course, twisting the scriptures at times, the Pharisees and the scribes and the lawyers, during the 400 silent years. But there were hundreds and thousands of people desiring and wishing for light from the words from the scripture. So Psalm 25, it's a devotional thought, but a spiritual motivating thought today. Psalm 25 and verse 5. Let's read verses 1 to 4. Verses 1 to 4 are a scripture song. I don't know if you've ever heard it before, and I'm not going to attempt to sing it as such, but it's one that goes, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul." So verses 1 to 4 are a scripture song. "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed, let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths." But our text is in verse 5. "Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." Would you mark the word wait? This word wait, just the word wait, not waiteth and waiting, but is over 100 times in different places in your Bible. And the application I want to make today is going to be like we find in Numbers chapter 3. Now, there are many instances in which the word wait is used, as in lion in wait, as in a ambush, as in Psalm 10 verse 9, where he talks about a lion in wait. And I want us to think about this truth. It's going to be, hopefully, be short for your sake. It's a devotional truth, but it's one that has helped me for literally decades. And coming across it again in Psalm 25 reminded me of it. And the idea is this: wait on the Lord while you wait. Wait on the Lord while you wait. You'll see what I mean. Numbers chapter 3. There are different uses of this word wait. Now today, if you go to a restaurant, for example, they usually call the person that comes to your table the server. Your server will be with you. But for years and years, and perhaps still today, and maybe high dollar stuff and all that, traditional places of eating, they'll call them your waiter. That's because of the use of the word wait in the English language. Let's look at it in Numbers chapter 3. Numbers 3 and verse 10. Let's pick up verse 9, please. Thou shalt give the Levites unto Aaron and to his sons. So the Levites were the non-specific tribe of Levi. Aaron are the priesthood tribe. They are wholly given unto him out of the children of Israel. Thou shalt appoint Aaron his sons, and they shall wait on their priest's office. So it's pretty obvious that he's not talking about just standing around cooling their heels, isn't it? Go to the right a couple pages. Numbers chapter 8. Numbers chapter 8. Wait on the Lord while you wait. Or waiting on the Lord while you wait. Numbers chapter 8 and verse 23. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this is it that belongeth unto the Levites. From 25 years old and upward shall they go in to wait upon the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. And lest maybe somebody doesn't quite grab it, let's go to 1 Chronicles 23. Now, we're not going to run all the references, but a few, because it's pretty important. 1 Chronicles 23. 1 Chronicles chapter 23. And I'm going to say this to you. Please consider this. Beware of devotional sources that are sentimental. I've lost track of how many different devotional sources. You understand that in my calling for years and years, for example, I was not only responsible for my own walk, but God has entrusted me, still does, with helping others with their walk. And so in order to be a good instructor, a good teacher, a good trainer, a good discipler, the discipler needs to be aware of what effect different sources have on believers. Sentimental devotional books are good in the sense that every now and then you need something sentimental. But here's the problem. They're too human. Typical sentimental books are always about how whatever's happening is, you know, for your best and endure and etc. And they're too human. You hear me mention men like Oswald Chambers because that devotion book has a stab to it. Now, here's why it does. See, there is a lot behind stuff that you may not understand yet. My Utmost for His Highest, for example, is the result of sermons and chapel talks delivered by Oswald Chambers and taken down by stenographic notes by Oswald Chambers' wife. And after his death, at a fairly early age, considering, while he was serving the troops in Zetun, Egypt, she was encouraged by her friends and his friends that had survived him to put some of this stuff into writing. So she took excerpts here and there and made it. And so his devotions generally have a stab or a sword or a cross in them. And when you have that in your life, you need that more than you need the sentimental. And you can't mix the two. If you try to mix the two, the sentimental undoes the stab. Now, I'm speaking from observation. I'm speaking from experience. And I'm speaking from Scripture. Be careful. See, it's not a matter of putting the other ones down, the sentimental ones down, but it's a matter of saying the result isn't that you get an edge to your life. It makes you very sentimental. Okay? For years and years, I've approached that with people. To be honest with you, there's times when after you've been discipling somebody for a while, that's what you have to do. You have to do the Oswald Chambers thing and approach them about their sentimentality. Because God doesn't want you sentimental with yourself. And you will become that way with yourself. And you'll be looking for inspiration all the time. This devotion's not really inspiration as much as a challenge. Okay? What we're having. First Chronicles 23, excuse me, verse 28. Pick up verse 27. For by the last words of David, the Levites were numbered from 20 years old and above, because their office was to wait on the sons of Aaron for the service of the house of the Lord, etc., etc. That didn't mean they stood around like fellows at the water fountain or the coffee urn and are waiting. They were serving. They were waiting upon. They were serving the sons of Aaron. So this word wait in the Bible has a couple different ways that it's used. One more reference coming on to the right, just another book, 2 Chronicles and chapter 13. Now, while I'm doing that, would you grab 1 Corinthians chapter 9? Now, some of these verses, I'll just read them for the sake of devotion here in a few minutes, but let's get this down. The picture is waiting on the Lord while you wait. You know, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Okay, amen. Our text today says, on thee do I wait all the day. And I'm going to try to paint a picture, 3 points in our devotion. The picture, the promise, and the practice. The picture, the promise, and the practice. Okay? Just trying to paint that for you for a few minutes today. In 2 Chronicles chapter 13, in verse 10, but as for us, the Lord is our God, and we have not forsaken him, and the priests which minister unto the Lord are the sons of Aaron, and the Levites wait upon their business. So, one of the uses of this word wait, you say, well, in Psalm chapter 25, verse 5, on thee do I wait all the day. It has to mean just hanging on. No, it doesn't. There's no way that it's an accident that God uses these things. Come on, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's go. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Come on, man. Pick up the pace. Let's go. I really hope what I've said to you about these devotional things will touch somebody out there. I really pray. I prayed and prayed over this thing. The Lord really impressed me, because if I, in a pastoral context and a discipling context, these are things that you take somebody and you help them with personally. And I have had people occasionally get offended. You know, when they get offended, then I know that it's the sentimental. The sentimental is the flesh, friend, okay? The sentimental is the part that we like things to be so soft and so ooey-gooey that we miss the sword. The Bible is a two-edged sword, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? Paul is going to talk about the ministry here. He's going to talk about preaching the gospel. He's going to talk about living in the gospel, etc. But he's going to use an illustration in verse 13. Do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the holy things of the temple? Now the picture is, you know, they bring the offerings. They would shed the blood. Some of the meal, which is also called a meat offering, some of the meal, the grain, would be set aside for the Levites and for Aaron and his sons, the Aaronic priesthood. Some of the meat would be set aside, some of the flesh would be set aside. They were to live of it because that's what they spent their time doing. They didn't have time to go grow crops. They didn't have time to go, you know, take care of sheep or cattle or any of that kind of thing. And he says, they which wait, verse 13, do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple. And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar, so even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. The point is, he uses this word again in the New Testament. They wait at the altar. They're not standing there, just hanging out. They're doing something. Waiting on the Lord while you wait. Waiting on the Lord. So what is the picture? The picture is waiting while you're waiting. It's an active waiting. Ready? Get this. It's doing unto the Lord while doing nothing about that which you are waiting upon the Lord to do. Okay? It's waiting upon. It's waiting, doing unto the Lord while doing nothing. So you're doing unto the Lord. You stay in your Bible. You make intercession. You do the good deeds that you're supposed to do while you do nothing about that which you're waiting upon the Lord for. And what that does is that serves a double purpose. So when you see the admonitions to wait on the Lord and be of good courage, you should ask yourself, am I just hanging around waiting for God to do something? Or am I doing the other things that I ought to be doing while I wait upon the Lord to do that which I'm asking him to do, or I need him to do? Proverbs 27:18, whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. In other words, the fellow who tends to it, he gets to eat of the fig tree while he's helping the fig tree grow. So he that waiteth on his master shall be honored. He waiteth on his master like a waiter. Okay? And this is why this word is so powerful to us. Now, the concept with many Christians in these sentimental things is you're just waiting on the Lord. You're waiting on the Lord. You're waiting on the Lord. Okay? Amen. But the picture is Romans 8:19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. He goes on to say, verse 23, not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is not seen is not hope. But hope that is seen, rather, is not hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. What a man seeth, what doth he yet hope for? If you can see it, you're not hoping for it, you're seeing it. It's by sight. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. That's Romans 8:25. So the picture is this. Listen, David waited upon the things of God. David poured his heart out to God. Some of the Psalms were written when David was waiting on the Lord, and he was leading, and he was, while he was abstaining from doing anything personally about Saul, King Saul. You understand that? The reason that's so important is this. We have to remember that we are waiting. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. The picture is waiting while waiting. What a great picture. What a great picture that you and I would realize that we are to wait upon the Lord. You know, here's where a lot of Christians mess up. They think that we're just waiting on the Lord to do something. And now, with this in mind, go to Luke chapter 12. A great illustration here. Luke chapter 12 with eternal reference to it. Luke chapter 12. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Psalm 37:7-8. Luke chapter 12. All right, so here's the deal. Luke chapter 12. We're going to read a handful of verses here, starting in verse 36. We'll pick it up in verse 34. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he openeth and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself, make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, these are nighttime things, okay? These are middle of the night sort of things. It'd be like if you had three watches of 4 hours, 6 to 10 and 10 to 2 and 2 to 4. This is from 10 to 2 and 2 to 4. He says, if he come in the second or in the third watch, find them so. Blessed are those servants. This know, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not suffered his house to be broken through. Verse 40, mark it. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? The Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you that it will make him ruler of all that he hath. But and if that servant say in his heart, ready, my Lord delayeth his coming, shall begin to beat the men servants and maid servants, and to eat and drink and be drunken. The Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he's not aware, will cut him in sunder, will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. You know what the great picture is here? Read on. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For in whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him will they ask the more. And would you please not let old Lucifer or your flesh come in right this very minute and distract you with the exact interpretation? This lesson is really simple. Get the real lesson first. The real lesson is this. You need to be waiting on the Lord while you wait on the Lord. That is the picture. And it's all through there. I had more references. I'm going to leave them for you. Okay? That was the picture. Secondly, the promise. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Psalm 27:14. Wait on the Lord, and thou shalt inherit, it says. Psalm 37:9 and verse 34. You know, the promise you have is if you'll wait on the Lord while you wait, he's going to grant and give you and supply for you what you are asking for and waiting for. My soul, wait thou only upon God. For my expectation is from him. He'll strengthen you while you wait. He'll strengthen you to wait upon him while you wait upon him. That's not just a play on words. That's just not some clever thought. It's powerful. God enables us. God gives me strength to wait upon him while I'm waiting upon him. He'll give you your expectation. If you wait on the Lord, he'll give you your provision. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Now, you need to be content with what he offers you. You know, a lot of people they're like the picky eater. Now, let me explain something to you. I know the difference between good food, average food, and great food. I do. I enjoy really well-prepared food. I enjoy a great variety of food when it's available. I'm not one of those that's going to go out and spend a great deal of money to have it. If the occasion rises and you're able to partake of it, it's awesome. And so the difference isn't that I don't have a great appreciation for it, and I do. Even really, you know, elaborate or rare, you might say, recipes and stuff. Well, they're just amazing amount of different kinds of food from around the world. But you don't have to have it. And when you don't have it, the simple little meal is just as much a blessing because it comes from God. Now, I'll give you an example. These wait all upon thee. Talking about the creatures of the sea. That thou mayest give them their meat in due season. God will provide for you the same way he provides for creation. God will give you what you're waiting for. Just be thankful for what he gives you on the day. And we're not going to redo our thing on contentment, but be content. Learn to be content. I'm pausing here because I have no intention whatsoever of hurting somebody, okay? Now, it might hurt your feelings, but it's a weary thing to be around people who are so sensitive to their environment. It is wearisome to be around people who have to have the temperature a certain way all the time. Now, I'm not talking about somebody who has a condition. I'm just talking about in general. Or if it's raining, they're discouraged and depressed, you know, and this and that kind of, and there's just a multitude of things, but it's wearisome after a while. Because everything that God puts out there is necessary. Now, some people live closer down to the equator, from both south of the equator and north of the equator. They live closer and they have a different climate. But if that's not where God puts you, and either you are today where God puts you, or you're backslidden, which is it? If you're backslidden, then I guess head to the equator if that's what you think God's will is for your life. But otherwise, quit complaining. He says, do all things without murmuring. Why is that? Because we can't be waiting on him. Do you remember Nehemiah was concerned when the king saw his face and his countenance was burdened? Nehemiah was concerned that he was about to get himself in big trouble with the king because he was supposed to be in a good frame of mind and he's supposed to be positive in front of the king. Well, be positive in front of your king, the Lord Jesus Christ. Be that way. Now, we wait upon him. We wait on him while we're waiting. So we're waiting on the Lord while we're waiting on the Lord. Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that he have mercy. The promise is keep waiting. Okay? Now, with this double-edged thing, you know, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. Isaiah 40, excuse me, 31. The promise. Thirdly, and quickly, the practice. Okay, the picture, you're waiting while you're waiting. The promise, God's going to provide for you what you're waiting on him for while you wait upon him. The practice. Now, over there in our Psalm 25, okay, pretty interesting thing the way the Lord puts things. Psalm 25:21, let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. What is the practice? Doing both at once. You're doing both at once. There's things that you're going to do nothing about. You're not going to do the Sarai and Abram thing and jump the gun and get an Ishmael. You're just going to wait on God. But while you're waiting on God, you're waiting on God. Abraham was serving the Lord. Abraham delivered Lot. All these different things that God does, you do those things. Psalm 130, verse 5, for I wait for the Lord, for my soul doth wait. In his word do I hope. So you stay in the word of God. Okay? You stay in the book. You stay of good courage. And you wait upon the Lord. Now the good courage is needed because you're going to keep doing the things. Listen, it takes courage to keep doing the things that have no direct connection to what you're waiting upon the Lord for. If you're not careful, that human mind that God gave us, that nothing can be restrained from us which we have imagined to do, kicks in, and pretty soon we're just constantly trying to help the Lord out too much. Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. You know, too many people are trying to have some influence. Now, our passage in Luke is what's so important. Okay? Luke tells you how to do it. In Luke chapter 12, the Lord Jesus Christ parable tells us how to do it. We know and we find his will and we do it. You know, if you don't know his will and he comes back, fine. But today, as of today, you're accountable to go find his will and do it. Now, his will is things like this. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. And everything gives thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, 1 Thessalonians 5. Wait while you wait. What is the practice? I'm doing both at once. And I got to make sure that I keep the picture right so I can get the promise so that I am daily doing the practice. I'm practicing. I'm applying this truth. Wait on the Lord while you wait on the Lord. And perhaps today you're going to stop. I'm going to ask you to stop, pause, give some thought. Lord, have I quit serving you in some area? As in waiting on you? Am I not paying attention to your book? Have I slacked off in my prayer for others and their thoughts and needs? Have I been thoughtful of my Christian walk throughout the day? Some of y'all kind of park your Christianity in the desk drawer at work, or in the glove box at work, or wherever, or in the home sometimes, and then you just get it out and wear it at certain times. That's not your Christianity. You should be waiting on the Lord all day long, listening for his voice, looking for what he needs done, be in his hands, his eyes, his ears. Now watch, while doing nothing personally about what you're waiting on the Lord to do. David refused to take King Saul's life into his hands. David refused to spread discord. David refused to cause insurrection. He just followed God. Now, look at all the people he had to care for, the people he had to pray for, the people he had to protect. Kept his walk intact. Wait on the Lord while you wait on the Lord. Father, I pray that even right this minute, or through these truths, the truths, Lord, that these people come in contact with, that you'll help them. There's a great picture here, Lord, and you've given us great promises of strength and eternal inheritance, Lord, and that our expectation, we would not be ashamed, and you provide for us your mercy, Lord, your incredible mercy to us. And then I pray, Lord, for the practice of it, that you'd help someone somewhere to get back on track and be waiting on thee as a servant to thee personally, while we're waiting on thee for the things that we know only thou canst do. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. God be with you.